Zaphod felt he was teetering on the edge of madness and wondered if he shouldn't just jump over and have done with it.
"Great-grandfather," he said, "it applies to us. We are still alive and we are about to lose our lives. Good job, too."
"What?
What use is your life to anyone? When I think of what you've made of it, the phrase pig's ear comes irresistibly to mind. But I was president of the galaxy, man."
"Huh," muttered his ancestor.
"And what kind of job is that for a Beeblebrox?
Hey, what?
Only president, you know, of the whole galaxy? Huh, conceited little mega puppy."
Zaphod blinked in bewilderment.
"Hey, what are you at, man? I mean, great-grandfather."
The hunched-up little figure stalked up to his great-grandson and tapped him sternly on the knee. This had the effect of reminding Zaphod that he was talking to a ghost because he didn't feel a thing.
"You know and I know what being president means, young Zaphod. You know because you've been it, and I know because I'm dead and it gives one such a wonderfully uncluttered perspective. We have a saying up here, life is wasted on the living."
"Yeah," said Zaphod bitterly. "Very good. Very deep. Right now I need aphorisms like I need holes in my heads."
50 seconds, grunted Ford Prefect.
"And where was I?"
said Zaphod Beeblebrox the Fourth.
"Pontificating,"
said Zaphod Beeblebrox.
"Oh, yes.
Can this guy," muttered Ford quietly to Zaphod, "actually, in fact, help us?"
"Nobody else can," whispered Zaphod.
Ford nodded despondently.
"Zaphod," the ghost was saying, "you became president of the galaxy for a reason. Have you forgotten?
Could we go into this later?"
"Have you forgotten?"
insisted the ghost.
"Yeah, of course I forgot. I had to forget. They screen your brain when you get the job, you know? If they'd found my head full of tricksy ideas, I'd have been right out on the streets again with nothing but a fat pension, secretarial staff, a fleet of ships, and a couple of slit throats."
"Ah,"
nodded the ghost in satisfaction.
"Then you do remember."
He paused for a moment.
"Good,"
he said, and the noise stopped.
48 seconds, said Ford.
He looked again at his watch and tapped it. He looked up.
"Hey, the noise has stopped," he said.
A mischievous twinkle gleamed in the ghost's hard little eyes.
"I've slowed down time for a moment,"
he said.
"Just for a moment, you understand? I would hate you to miss all I have to say."
"No, you listen to me, you see-through old bat,"
said Zaphod, leaping out of his chair.
"A, thanks for stopping time and all that great, terrific, wonderful. But B, no thanks for the homily, right? I don't know what this great thing I'm meant to be doing is, and it looks to me as if I was supposed not to know, and I resent that, right? Now, the old me knew. The old me cared. Fine, so far, so hoopy. Except that the old me cared so much that he actually got inside his own brain, my own brain, and locked off the bits that knew and cared, because if I knew and cared, I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to go and be president. And I wouldn't be able to steal the ship, which must be the important thing. But this former self of mine killed himself off, didn't he, by changing my brain. Okay, that was his choice. This new me has its own choices to make, and by a strange coincidence, those choices involve not knowing and not caring about this big number, whatever it is. That's what he wanted, that's what he got. Except, this old self of mine tried to leave himself in control, leaving orders for me in the bit of my brain he locked off. Well, I don't want to know, and I don't want to hear them. That's my choice. I'm not going to be anybody's puppet, particularly not my own."
Zaphod banged on the console in fury, oblivious of the dumbfounded looks he was attracting.
"The old me is dead," he raved. "Killed himself. The dead shouldn't hang about trying to interfere with the living." "And yet you summon me up to help you out of a scrape,"
said the ghost.
"Ah,"
said Zaphod, sitting down again.
"Well, that's different, isn't it?"
He grinned at Trillian weakly.
"Zaphod,"
rasped the apparition,
"I think the only reason I waste my breath on you is that being dead, I don't have any other use for it."
Okay, said Zaphod.
Why don't you tell me what the big secret is? Try me.
Zaphod, you knew when you were president of the galaxy, as did Yudin Vranks before you, that the president is nothing. A cipher. Somewhere in the shadows behind is another man, being, something, with ultimate power. That man, or being, or something, you must find. The man who controls this galaxy, and, we suspect, others. Possibly the entire universe.
Why?
Why?
Exclaimed an astonished ghost.
Why? Look around you, lad. Does it look to you as if it's in very good hands?
It's all right.
The old ghost glowered at him.
I will not argue with you. You will simply take this ship, this improbability drive ship, to where it is needed. You will do it. Don't think you can escape your purpose. The improbability field controls you. You are in its grip. What's this?
He was standing, tapping at one of the terminals of Eddie the shipboard computer. Zaphod told him.
What's it doing?
It is trying, said Zaphod with wonderful restraint, to make tea.
Oh, good, said his great-grandfather. I approve of that. Now, Zaphod,
he said, turning and wagging a finger at him,
I don't know if you are really capable of succeeding in your job. I think you will not be able to avoid it. However, I am too long dead and too tired to care as much as I did. The principal reason I'm helping you now is that I couldn't bear the thought of you and your modern friends slouching about up here. Understand?
Yeah, thanks a bundle.
Oh, and Zaphod?
Yeah?
If you ever find you need help again, you know, if you're in trouble, need a hand out of a tight corner.
Yeah?
Please don't hesitate to get lost.
Within the space of 1 second, a bolt of light flashed from the wizened old ghost's hands to the computer. The ghost vanished, the bridge filled with billowing smoke, and the Heart of Gold leapt an unknown distance through the dimensions of time and space.